We're not gonna air that. So let's do this, gentlemen.
All right.
Everybody, wake up!
Time to wake up. Time to start the day. Wake up late with Dougie. It's the only way.
Wake up late now, everybody. Wake up late, everybody. Wake up late. Wake up late.
Wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie.
It's time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. What rhymes with Dougie? He's just so funny.
It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show, live from Danger Studios. Coral Springs, and now you know
we're the hottest show in this
place.
Wake
up late now, everybody.
Wake up late
now, everybody.
Wake up late
now, everybody.
I said 1, 2, 3, everybody wake up.
Live from Danger Studios in Coral Springs, Florida, it's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show.
Yeah.
Starring Dougie Almeida. Now, let's start the show.
Thank you, Elgin. Hey, everybody, welcome to another edition of the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. I'm Dougie Almeida, live from Danger Studios. I'm here with Mike Cintron.
What's up, everybody?
And a special guest today, you may have seen him on Burger King national commercials, and Nadeem Awad.
What's up, world? How we doing, everybody?
Good. It's not a good day, bad day, very, very odd situation to catch on the news, watching the Notre Dame Cathedral burning to the ground.
It's terrible.
Now you got to be nervous about this because people are already being suspecting that it's a, you know, that it's a, because there's been fires and shit in France and in different mosques and not mosques and temples and churches. So you guys are, you know, they're going to start looking at you funny, dude.
I've got heat on me already.
I'm just, if you want help, dude, if you want protection, let me know. I don't want anybody fucking getting mad at you, dude. You coming up get pissed.
Because it was Nadeem himself. He flew to France.
Yeah, Nadeem.
And set fire to Notre Dame.
Could you imagine if you see
I
a
I heard there was a hunchback here.
I love Notre Dame. So we never do that. I would have picked to set fire to.
Could you imagine, though, we're sitting there one day watching the news, and all of a sudden you see fucking Nadeem's picture up there suspected.
Oh, my God.
Arsonist. What?
I would
He's fucking. How could he light it on fire? He runs like 8 open mics.
My heart would break, man. Like, Nadeem is the sweetest man I know.
Yeah,
I don't even carry a lighter, man.
Yeah,
I keep myself clear.
I ask him when I have a cigarette. I'm like, "Do you have a lighter?" He's like, bro. I can't carry one.
Yeah, he wants to be as unsuspective as possible.
Nothing that ticks. No watches. No fucking nothing. Yeah. No fire. Nothing flammable.
There you go. But dude, it's amazing when you watch something 800 years. The time, you know what I mean? That's a, you know, you think about it that
in 800 years it didn't burn the whole time.
Yeah, you know what I mean? All of a sudden they're trying to fix it up, and the fucking thing.
That's insane.
You know, get closer to that too for me.
Horrible.
Yeah, and you know what I mean? And it's just like, but it's, you know, it's interesting. Now we're gonna. Everybody's like, oh my God, you know, the fucking. Have you ever been to France, Mike?
No, I haven't. I met a cardinal who was a bishop in France or something like that.
It's an interesting.
Well, where'd you meet him at, Mike?
I thought, it was in a bathroom and fucking.
It was in
the airport.
Bathroom. I was a young altar boy in New York. And
it sounded weird, didn't it?
Yeah.
No. This guy was visiting, I guess, from France. I went to Catholic school. And they made us all, like, say hello to this dude. And he spoke French, so they taught me to say, "Répétez-vous, s'il vous plaît," which means repeat myself, which I'm like, why would you teach me how to say that?
He's teaching to be stupid.
Wouldn't you teach me to, like, say hello?
Yeah.
Or, like, something that I can, like, I don't know, start a conversation. But he's like, they're like, when you see the Pope, say this, "Répétez-vous, s'il vous plaît." And that's the only phrase in French.
Yeah, the Pope back then mumbled.
Yeah, I actually speak French. That means don't touch my penis.
Yeah.
French.
Yeah, it's a loose translation, something like that. Yes, please don't sniff my balls. That's horrible.
Don't touch me.
Yeah. I don't know. So it's just tragic, and wonder how much art was destroyed. Like, I give a shit. But the big news, I thought, was the Masters this weekend with Tiger Woods. Because, you know, when I was listening to this, I was coming back from St. Augustine, thanks to Jackie Knight's Comedy Club, the Ebony and Olive Comedy Tour, me and Chris Priester.
I love Jackie Knight.
Yeah, and great. Friday was light for something. There was like fucking Kiss concert in Jacksonville. There was a big country star at the fucking amphitheater. We're like, what the fuck, man? Why is it every weekend I want to do a show in St. Augustine? There's like, you know, ZZ Top is performing down the street at a pub.
Because you're that good, Dougie. They're like, we only know one man that can go against ZZ Top in this town. That's dangerous, Dougie Almeida.
And draw a crowd. Yeah. But it was fun. So, but driving back, I'm listening to the Masters, and very exciting. But Tiger Woods fucking takes it. People counted him out, and I started thinking about the underdog. Like I like the underdog. I'm not talking about
who
the cartoon.
Who was the underdog? I don't know who.
He's an underdog because he had back surgeries. He's fucking.
Oh, Tiger Woods.
Everybody
was
counted him out. Okay. There's even comics telling jokes about him that ever since the fucking Instigate thing he did, he never won a tour. He never, it was it.
You got to admit, though, he went down a dark path, so it is kind of like an American story.
Hell yeah.
Very, like, he came...
Comeback story, man.
Came back from the bottom.
Yeah, we're not talking... They're saying it's one of the greatest sports comebacks in this generation.
They'll start getting advertisements.
That's
again.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Nike. The guy from Dunlop Golf Balls was on CNBC today. And
yeah.
He was like, yeah, we're glad he putted that fucking winning shot.
He's going to get twice the endorsements.
Yeah, everyone will love him again. It's like...
Back. Of course. But yeah, it was funny, though. I was watching something. They're showing all these sports guys, like, just calling him out, like, he'll never win another one. He's washed up, and he should retire. Like, and you know, all the people are sitting there going, maybe I shouldn't have said that.
Scumbags.
Well, you know.
But that's the thing. Coming back, man, the fucking underdog, the comeback kid. You know, it's like, I don't know how long... Listen, you know, I don't know how... underdog, like I brought this up before with the soccer thing, and you know, as you're not a man gifted with height, but as I was a goalkeeper growing up, you know, think about this sport. I'm a goalkeeper, and I went to college. You know, I played soccer. I made it to collegiate level, but as a 5'8½ goalkeeper, you know what I mean? That's like being a forward in basketball at 5'9".
Yeah, you're wide, man. You're like a wall. You know,
he wasn't that wide. I'm sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not like I don't mean that mean in a mean way. You know, you're just like you're.
This is when he had a vertical leap.
Dude,
yeah, this is when I can actually jump onto a phone book.
A phone book.
You know what I mean? This is when I can actually run for a little bit and not look at my watch.
You did beat Minda.
Yeah, I did. She thinks she can beat me now. We're thinking about having a rematch.
Everyone needs to remember that.
Yeah.
Remember that. She was talking mad junk. She's like, man, I ain't got a pair. Like, he's so old. He ain't going to beat me. And you dusted her, bro. I remember
that. 40, 50-yard dash, man. Smoked her by about 2 body lengths.
Oh, dude, she was smoking weed with me the night before. Just like,
blew along.
I ain't got to worry about it.
Meanwhile, if you drove by Danger Studios, you can hear Eye of the Tiger from fucking Survivor bat blasting. I'm sitting there going, you know. Yeah, no, man. All I did was I hadn't sprinted in a while, obviously, you know?
Yeah.
So I did some sprints, interval sprints, to get my muscles ready, you know?
Yeah, so you don't trip. Like, I've done that before. You race somebody, and got a couple Jamesons in you, and you know, one leg kicks out, and then you do the front flip thing. It's not a good look.
That was you in front of the robot, right?
I tripped, but there was Andrew that... I was sitting there just drinking a beer. He's like, let's race. I'm like, what the fuck is this?
The fuck is that all
man,
about?
These kids get
He's a nice guy, but, you know, I was just like, he kind of put me on a spot in front of a bunch of comics, and I'm like, fuck.
Well, what kind of footwear were you wearing?
I had Converse, and I was like,
flat?
Well, the
chucks?
Like, I've had 3 IPAs. I can beat this motherfucker. He was on me, too. I'm like, oh, shit, these bow legs got to kick in, you know?
Who is this guy? How is he, a young guy?
Oh, yeah, he's a tall, lanky dude, man.
And he challenged you to a foot race?
Out of nowhere.
How far? He was in the parking lot of the robot?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we were in a little, probably like, I don't know, 50 yards. It was a little aggressive because I wasn't even talking to him. He's like, let's race right now. I'm like, oh, shit. Like,
you sure he wasn't talking to somebody else?
No, he looked right at me, and then we did it, you know?
He wasn't asking Wayne Felber?
No. I was like, I got to
God bless that guy. But, yeah, she's right, man. She said, Dougie's too fat. I could beat him. You know, he's a former athlete. Remember that? If you hear this on the podcast, she was like, he's a former athlete.
That hurts.
Man, off the podcast, she was dropping jokes. I'm like, you better watch it, Minda.
Yeah.
You never know.
And if you want to watch it, by the way, you can go to our YouTube channel, Wake Up Late with Dougie Show YouTube channel, and we have the race that's on there. It's on the
You recorded it?
Yeah, we recorded it. We got the Chariots of Fire and everything.
I'm going to watch it.
You got to
watch
go out there.
There's a fun little Peter Leonard interviews us before the race and everything.
Bring it to Comedy kind of, Basement.
Yeah, man.
Show it to her at the end of the show.
You should play it on their anniversary show. Here's Minda at her finest.
Man, that's rough. I love Minda.
So, but yeah, I smoked her, dude. And then Peter Leonard, also on the channel, it was like Challenge Dougie, the host. Peter Leonard, who said he played baseball in high school or college.
Yeah,
he said he played baseball. He challenged me to a throwing contest. So out back of the house, We grabbed the tennis ball and we had a throwing contest and I smoked him by about 10 yards.
I can win that shit. You want to challenge me?
I know you. I'm gonna challenge a Palestinian on a rock throwing contest.
Hey, I love people in and all, but man, come on, man. You could go to a nursing home and find someone who could throw better than that dude.
Peter Leonard, would you want to challenge him? Hey, you're talking shit. You want to challenge
Peter? I would challenge Peter Leonard to anything.
Really?
You know?
Peter Leonard, you're going to watch this. Mike Cintron is challenging you to any physical.
Not boxing, though. He'll probably beat the
shit out of you. Yeah, he'll beat the shit out of you, dude. He can actually, he's a bit of a nut.
Yeah.
And you know, he's crazy. He'll lose your shit.
No, I'm not into that.
Yeah.
But, like, throwing?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I'm down. You want to skee-ball me? Man,
skee-ball?
I'll take you to Dave and Buster's. Okay. I will bust you up, son.
Yeah.
Comedy Olympics.
That's what we should have, man. Remember was it about a few months ago? I think it was last year, actually. I was talking about getting a kickball game.
Oh, that'd be cool.
A stand-up comic kickball game.
That'd be sweet.
And we were going to have John Gregory, captain of team, and Fossil.
That's why you got to do these quick it's a turnaround door lately, Dougie. Like they come and they go within like months.
John Gregory and Fossil.
There would be the captains, and then we'd have a draft.
Oh man,
we'd all go to the field. we'd all call the comics get picked.
Who would be on Fossil's team? You think?
It depends on who we pick. You know who? And then you think Fossil? Like, I'm gonna take Dougie.
Darius would have to fly in.
Darius,
He got a ringer.
Darius would fly in for sure. I think Jackie would end up on Fossil's team.
Yeah,
because she's been a host. Jackie, come on, you're small. They can't hit you with the kickball.
Fossil, you know, he's been working out, dude. He'll probably just kick the ball over the fence first.
That's what I'm saying. Fossil has been working out too. I would not sleep on Fossil.
Yeah, either. Yeah. I would just picture him. I would like to see Fossil run.
I like to see him fucking fight, like when John Gregory does that last joke and he just snaps
meticulous.
And then Fassel chokes him out and everyone's like,
oh my God.
Dude, leave him alone. He's fucking he's freaking out.
Yeah, he's nuts. Well, you end up finding out that later on that he leaves and all of a sudden John Gregory goes missing. Yeah, that's the kind of guy he'll do. If you're going to do it right. Fuck. Anyway, again, congratulations to Tiger Woods for winning the Masters.
That's awesome.
Maybe now he can afford some hair. Boy, he went bald. Yeah. You know, it's, you know, I'm not, listen, I'm starting to lose my, my widow peaks are fucking, they're, you know what I mean? And I'm hoping they cease for a little bit. I hope there's like a slowdown and I hope it doesn't pick up.
Are you glad you didn't go bald when you were 20?
Yeah. Well, that's what my buddy says. He goes, man, if you still have your hair at 50, then you're fine.
Yeah, you're good, bro.
You got to, you know what I mean? But listen, if I start losing my hair, then I definitely got to lose weight.
Yeah,
I can't be fat and
bald. Fat, bald guy.
can't be both, man.
You and Lenny Travis just traveling clubs.
Yeah.
Olive tour.
Part of the opening of the show, we have talked about some things that have happened, like the burning of Notre Dame, the Cathedral of Notre Dame, and it wasn't Nadim.
It's not me, guys. Yeah,
he doesn't even carry matches, so we determined that. And the next thing that's interesting is in the world of politics, I don't want to talk about it, but this is funny. Anything that deals with hypocrisy and just kinds of weird shit. But, you know, Trump mentioned, since we can't change the laws in immigration, that let's do this. As the immigrants come in, we have to house them. We don't want to put them in cages. We don't want to put them in deplorable situations. So why don't we just go ahead and put them in sanctuary cities? Now, sanctuary cities are basically places in this country where illegals can go and they won't be prosecuted. They're protected. They can stay there and they can do their thing, right? It's like a homeland. It's like, you know. So, but now everybody knows, oh, my God, that's a horrible thing. I mean, you listen, I don't expect you to be a Trump fan. That whole idea of it. I mean, just the concept. If people are going to come in, we're families, you can't say, what are we going to do? What can we do?
Dude, I don't know. If somebody's taking me in down the road until something happens, you know, I'd rather be there than be.
I'd rather be in society.
In one of these facilities, you know?
Yeah.
The whole thing's fucked up already, you know?
Yeah, dude, it's not, you know? Mike is.
It's a hard situation to.
The other interesting part of the story was Cher was on there. Cher is basically, bring him in, no borders.
Cher, the singer?
Yeah, Cher, like Sonny Bono and Cher and Sonny and Cher.
Look out for the trees.
Yeah, watch the tree.
That's only advice.
Should have been looking. he said, not in L.A., don't bring him here. She says that we have our own homeless people to deal with. What happened to bring, you know, that's what I said. People are worried about these immigrant kids when they're coming in and they're in cages. I'm like, okay, I understand that. But there's also 2.5 million homeless American children on the streets. that are, you know, that are not, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's what do you do? You know, you can't just toss the people to the side. You know, then there is a homeless situation in L.A., obviously, if you've ever been there.
Yeah,
have,
it's horrible.
It's crazy, but a lot of those people don't want to be in a home over there either. You know, a lot of them have mental issues and drug addictions, and, you know, Skid Row is just a fucking wild place.
So this doesn't ever get better. This just, based on, and listen, I don't want to be Illuminati here, but as population grows, this only gets worse, right? And I don't want to comment on that. I'm just saying, dude. I mean, this unless something is done, to alter these
What are you suggesting here?
I'm suggesting they all go into a big room. The Dougie room. Once you lose social favor, once you do nothing but suck on the tit of life and bring nothing to the table, then it's time to go. Walk the plank.
Yeah, it's
and I'm going to say this because I'm going to share this with you guys today. And it's personal stuff, but this is what it's about. Why do I feel and say the things I do? I have a brother who is now 60 years old my family members are saying he's messing up again.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I'm supposed to go give advice to a sibling that's 60 years old that keeps making the same fucking mistake. I heard something recently that brought my – listen, you – in sports, we learn from our – anything. You learn from your mistakes, right? I mean, that's it. You know, everybody fucks up. Everybody fails. Everybody fucks and does things wrong. And then you're expected or you're hoped that you would learn from that fucking mistake.
Yeah.
You and I were talking to have a conversation about something particularly, and you basically, from what I got, you learned from that mistake. That right?
Yeah.
I don't want to talk about what it was, but you seem to have like, okay, you're not going to go trip on that same crack in the sidewalk, are you, Mike?
Well, you know, you can't do the same, you got to learn from your mistakes, for sure.
Right. You know what I mean? Now, if you don't learn from those fucking mistakes, and you keep making the same mistakes, why should anybody have any tolerance or sympathy anymore?
Well, you know, I mean, I don't know. I don't want to go into too deep to what's going on with your brother. Like, I know that's probably a sensitive subject, but, like, sometimes some people need some kind of, like, help or therapy or group session or
right.
something to guide them back. Maybe it can't be you because you're too close to the situation.
But they have to be willing to want to do that.
That's
too,
true.
You know?
They have to want to do that. Does he want to, like,
well, that's my point. Let me ask you. Let's say you've gone through that routine
right.
dozens of times. Right. Let's say you've right. gone through that whole thing. You know,
he wants to do it, and then he drops out.
And keeps fucking. You know,
something along the way gets him back to this thing.
Some people just are never going to change.
It's hard.
In regards to the situation earlier.
And what do you do though? What do you do? Do you sit there and you know? Do you sit there and constantly just sit there and watch as the person? You know, I can tell you this. You know, from things that I lost my father to Parkinson's. So watching that deteriorate is one thing, but then to watch somebody deteriorate at their own will.
Yeah,
at their own decision process. I don't have any respect for that. That's why I don't want to come off as cold to people that have fucking harsh and things that bad things happen to people. Nobody has a fucking monopoly on anguish.
Yeah,
you know, and fucking bad dealings.
Yeah,
but the people that seem to have a fucking monopoly on it don't ever seem to to learn from what the fuck they're doing. You know, and that's where nowadays people say, oh, you're not sensitive to people. No, I am sensitive to people, but at the same time, I'm not going to be an enabler. I'm not going to be some fucking person that's going to buy every fucking sob story I hear.
It's rough, man, because I know, you know, I try to be a nice guy, but I've been a victim of that where you get it too many times and you're just like, you know, I got to turn my back on you, person.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, you got to do it to some people. I mean,
the team never turns his back on anybody.
Yeah, I know. I'm too nice. But in the situation earlier, you're talking about immigrants and all that stuff. I mean, there's children there that don't have a choice in that. And, you know, most people, my parents were immigrants. So, you know, they came here by way of situation. You know, nobody wants to leave their country and be an immigrant.
Right.
Something has to be fucked up for you to. I'm sure there's people there that want to come and take advantage. But if life was so great and Syria and Mexico and all these other places, people wouldn't be leaving, you know?
Right. So what do we think is going to happen then? You basically got places on this in the world, in the globe that are intolerable.
Yeah.
Right? And you just can't, there's disorder, there's chaos.
Corrupt
There's
government.
Corruption. So if the people leave, it basically implodes, number one. Or two, the people have to change from within. There's certain countries in Africa that I haven't edified myself with, but you're seeing that they're working on the progress of establishing things in a culture and this and that, and amongst all that tyranny that's going on in that fucking part of the world, but they're still doing it. So, again, it's the run and the escape. It's when does it end? You know, people can, you know, people could do that. So, I mean, so the real question comes, can we take, could this country go ahead, if, let's say 60% of the population of Honduras, 70% of fucking El Salvador, let's just say you take 70% of the Central America and just let it, would the United States be able to take that many fucking people? You know what I mean?
Well, the thing is, you know, there's wealth in those countries. It's those people in charge that, you know, literally the citizens have to take advantage.
You know what kind of countries those are, Mike? They're socialist countries.
Yeah.
How you like that, AOC? That fucking dummy.
Well, I mean, not all socialist countries are bad.
Well, they're, yeah. Anyway. Here's
another news.
Yeah. Well, this is. I read this story and I found it interesting because as a comic we talk about things that are like there maybe it's racist or it's you know people are it's not gonna in certain politically correct audiences it wouldn't go over well, but here's a true story of a white restaurateur. I believe this is in New York, but it advertises clean Chinese food.
Oh, I saw that.
Chinese Americans had something to say about it. In other words, now listen, I started watching this, and I can't help but stereotypes. You know, you think of stereotypes, Asian foods. You know, it's they're cats. You know, you hear all that shit, right? But at the same time, you can't help but watch the local news station, and shame on you, fucking restaurant. You know, those shame on you, fucking. 89% of them are fucking Asian restaurants. Now I don't know if that's the producer of the show just saying, well, let's just you know make this point. You don't know if somebody's controlling that. But at the same time, you start thinking, well, fuck, most of them. It's not like you're going to a barbecue.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, like, Tacos Al Carbone in Lake Worth has been shut down, like, almost every other quarter for the last 10 years.
Yeah.
I have not stopped going there. In fact, sometimes I'm pretty sure I've gotten food poisoning.
You still go back?
I take the risk. It's delicious at 3 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, it is what it is. Those kind of foods are...
Let me ask you a question, Mike.
When you go to
I'm
going to
ask you a truth or dare. All right, either you answer truth or you dare, you have to make out with Nadim for 5 minutes.
I didn't sign up for this shit.
Welcome to the show, Nadim. All right, so listen. So let's just say this. And I'm going to share with you, I had something recent like this. Have you ever, and this goes to both of you, have you ever cooked something in a toaster oven or something, and like a French bread pizza or a quesadilla or some shit, anything with cheese, and as you pull it out of the toaster oven, you realize some of the tinfoil is still stuck on what it is you cooked, and you're not sure if you got it all. Did you still eat it?
No, I cut it out.
I wouldn't eat it because I got fillings and I've had that feeling before. Mm-hmm. I fucking freak out.
Yeah,
it's a weird pain. Have you ever?
But also, what I do. And it sucks, but it's just a little bit. But I spray a little, olive oil. What's that? Pam stuff.
Pam.
On the
cancer stuff. Spray.
So you prepare then.
Cancer
you're...
spray. More cancer spray on top of aluminum
weed
foil.
Weed killer, that's what that shit.
I don't want to eat any aluminum, but I'm going to spray this shit on there from Dow Chemical.
It doesn't stick.
So it doesn't stick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mark Pecoroni, by the way, says, Taco El Carbon, the White Castle of Tacos.
Yes.
Right?
Yes,
so he knows the place.
Shout out to Tacos Al Carbone.
Yeah.
Dude, the Cheesecake Factory's been on those places. The
yeah.
One, like 70 mm-hmm. violations. Yeah. So it's just a matter of, but if you got rats and roaches breakdancing in your fucking place, maybe it's time to wrap it up, you know?
They're filming Rat Tutui 2. It's always interesting when they say rat droppings.
Yeah.
Yeah, they found rat droppings. It's funny, though, when they have the Asian guys there, because like, they found rat droppings next year. All you talk about. No, yeah, you must go. I love it because those guys don't fucking. And then the women get really panicky, like, "Oh no, we could." You know, it's fucking great to watch. Now this is interesting because in New York, you know, New York's a hottie totty restaurant, you know. So that could you imagine pissing off all the Chinese restaurants in the fucking neighborhood?
Gonna put a hit out on you.
Yeah. Next time you got a guy in a fucking Bruce Lee outfit outside your door, table for one. And then you bring in all your Kung Fu masters. But this is just some lady. The uproar over a Chinese-American restaurant that was opened in Manhattan by two white restaurateurs has become the latest front in the debate over cultural appropriation. And... They like to use the word lucky. All these restaurants are opening lucky. Lucky Lee's.
Yeah.
Lucky T's. Lucky Cat. Ariel Haspel of Manhattan. She's a health coach. So this is basically in this story. This woman is just like she's educated and stuff like that, but she doesn't have a lot of Asian friends, I'm guessing. So they used all kinds of, you know, they used all kinds of like, they had chopsticks in the logo.
Yeah.
And shit like that, right? I mean, did you read the story or did you just
looked at the pictures? I just skimmed through it. There's like cultural appropriation shit. I was like, white lady owns a Chinese restaurant. What's the big deal? It's a business move. But
she called it Lucky Lee's.
You know
how many Mexicans own sushi restaurants?
Yeah.
Benihana, man. Half the guys at Benihana are Asian. Those are fucking Puerto Rican guys with little eye makeup.
You can make the food do it.
Yeah, I don't give a shit. But people are getting uptight because she's basically saying, come eat here. You won't go like you go to a Chinese restaurant. You feel bloated.
No,
after you leave there.
She's saying clean Chinese food because I've been to some Chinese places. You walk in, you're like, nah. Like,
right.
Yeah.
It's just, you know right away. But it's there could be a better way she could have said that. You know? A
better way she could have said
quality Chinese food.
But again, are we getting into the situation where we're judging how people express themselves? Is that more important than maybe the populace saying, I'm not going to be such a fucking uptight cunt about stuff. You know what I mean? This is the battle between right now society now. You think about it. Like, it's between those two things. Am I being too judgmental or should I be expecting more? You know what I mean?
She could have said it. She could have worded it better. You know, it's like saying Mexican food by white people. American made Mexican. You know,
This is white Mexican food. You won't fart after.
Yeah, people.
You won't shit yourself,
dude. You could have said it differently. You know, that's your slogan.
You ever like miss your mom's birthday or something like that, like some important event, and then your mom like guilts you for like a couple of weeks?
Yeah,
that's what America is. White people put minorities in slavery, and we're still like guilting you. Remember that? So like,
what I'm saying is when
a white woman owns a Chinese restaurant, she says something like that, she's gonna be scrutinized. Like that's gonna go on forever. Like if it was a Puerto Rican doing that or another minority, probably no one would bat an eye twice. But
right, but the evil white person.
That's
everybody. You know, reparations. We're gonna talk about
history.
We're gonna talk about that. You know, I can't remember what college it was. They voted that they were actually will donate to reparations of those who proved to be in the slaves, have been enslaved, their family members. So, you know, it's an interesting topic. Not for today, though. You know what I mean? Just saying.
Sorry. Apologize.
Anyway. Hey, it's that time of day, everybody.
And now for your dining and dancing pleasure, some international and domestic news you may or may not believe. It's straight from the headlines with Dougie Almeida.
Thank you, Peter. From our only newsroom, or the newsroom with only a typewriter. Something like that. Our first show, first story, Ian Cognito. You hear of this guy?
Ian Cognito?
Ian Cognito. He's a comedian that died on stage.
Oh, yes.
I saw the article.
Right?
It's crazy. Is he like the first one to do that? I know Hemp technically didn't die on stage. He got off.
Hemp, a local comic at the West Palm Beach Improv. Funny dude,
died after
the show.
Right,
he wasn't feeling good, right? Didn't he get walk off stage or something?
Feeling good, got off. He collapsed on the floor and got ambulance, and then on the way to the hospital, I think he passed.
That's a good dude.
Yeah, it's horrible.
But this guy literally died on stage.
Yeah. Not meaning he had a horrible set. He fucking died.
Yeah, his eyes rolled back, and that was it.
Well, he was joking about, like, his health issues and about dying. So when he fucking hit the ground,
they thought
it was
part of the
everyone just like, oh, this guy's really committing to this bit, man. He's dragging it out. And then somebody's like, oh, that guy's two nurses jumped up there.
This guy's at the physical comedy.
Yeah.
A 60-year-old comic sat down on a stool while breathing heavily before falling silent for 5 minutes during his show on Thursday last week. Compere Andrew Bird said the crowd at the Attic Bar in Bicester had thought it was a joke and continued to laugh, unaware something was wrong.
Oh my God, that's got to be the darkest way to die. People are laughing at you.
Think about it. If you're a comic,
blanking out of the world.
I wouldn't have a problem with that. Yeah, imagine as a comic, you're on stage, you hit the ground, and you're like,
I mean,
you
I guess.
See the light, and people are just cheering you on.
But I don't want to die. Like, I'd be like, someone help me. Like,
the last friggin' thing I did, I don't think anybody could have helped this guy.
Yeah, he used
my killing
stroke,
bit.
A massive stroke it was.
Was
right,
it?
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't read the whole thing.
It's true. I mean, I guess you're right.
Mr. Bird, who runs the Lone Wolf Comedy Club event, which is now going to be legendary, right?
Yeah.
Club owners kind of like that, like the gas station that sells the winning lotto ticket.
The club owner. Yeah.
I mean, they're gonna get people happens. Are gonna come to that fucking place.
This place is a career ender.
Yeah, that's a lot in Orlando.
Yeah.
In Orlando, if you go to certain bodegas, they hang the winning tickets, like, and they have multiple of them just to, like, see you can win. And
yeah,
it'd be like a $10 ticket that you won, but it's like you win a lot here. You know?
Yeah, it's a winning night neighborhood. There's bad neighborhoods, by the way. I found out when I was leaving St. Augustine, I went to a Sunoco station. And my Amex card was declined. I thought, oh, my God, what's going on? Is my wife spending enormous amounts of money in Japan? And then I called them up, and it turns out, no, you suspicious activity first is that you're getting gas at Sunoco.
Yeah.
You usually don't get gas at that place. And the second thing was, in that neighborhood has a lot of
credit card theft.
Yeah, and yeah. fraud and all kinds of stuff. So the inconsistency triggered off a... You know, which I'm happy. Some people go like, don't you stop. I was happy. I'm like, thanks, everybody.
Yeah,
thanks, Amex. I love American Express. Let's get them here as sponsors. I'm sure they would sponsor an explicit type podcast, comedy podcast. The guy from the comedy club, Mr. Bird, said he was like his old self. His voice was loud. He was, I was thinking he's having such a good gig, the guy said. Mr. Ben Cognito said Cognito had even joked about his health during the set. I don't know if I'm going to make it through this act. I don't know. I may not make it through this.
This might be my last joke.
Yes. It was Bird who first went to the stage to check if his fellow comedian was okay. The guy laid up there for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
That guy's doing his time.
Yeah, he's like...
he's running the light.
Because I've been like that. I'm like, hey, this headliner better not get off. It's 37. He said 45, bro. Like,
contractually 45 minutes, mate.
I'm going to start headlining. That's what I'm going to do. Lay down after 25 minutes. Just fill the time.
If you haven't ever seen it, I think it was on The Tonight Show or something. Andy Kaufman went on there and just stood there and said nothing the entire set.
Really?
You got to pull it up. I remember seeing it as a kid. I don't think I've ever seen it ever since. But he basically goes up there, and he looks like he's going to say something. And then he does
that
it. And everybody kept...
Suspense.
Kept laughing. And then he would act like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think a stolen concept was the guy in America's Got Talent, Tape Mouth. The guy with the tape over his mouth.
Yeah, try to do something replicated.
I think he may have gotten that idea. I'd be interested if I ever talked to that guy, if you ever got that from that bit. From Andy Kaufman.
Wow.
He's the whole, I don't know, it was a 5 minute set, right? He just sat there and didn't do shit. Yeah. Jesse Cohen says, it's the lesson of Ian Cognito is to get paid up front. Yeah.
Oh, Jesse.
The club owner's like, won't be needing this paycheck.
I love
that. Yeah, so God bless that guy. Man sues parents over his massive pornography collection. Seems the parents took, this guy had a huge amount of, like, DVD porn.
Old school.
And his mom found it. And you know how moms feel about porn. You know? And destroys it. You ever have a porn collection, Mike?
I still have one. I don't know what to do with it, because it's like, it makes no sense at this point in the world we live in, but... Man, when DVDs were a thing...
They might be worth something one day, Mike.
I got two library rows of...
Yeah,
porno.
So he's saving them like baseball cards.
Man, when Shiloh Styles is still alive. And...
I got Seika.
Yeah, they are classic now because some of these porn stars are dead at this point, you know?
I still got the VCR tape of what was an award-winning one. VCR it was called tape. Modern Age Hookers. It's like Modern Age Hookers or something like that. It had Nina Hartley in it. Nina Hartley? And
She's still around, bro.
Christy Canyon.
Nina Hartley is still throwing it down.
Nina
bro.
Hartley had the body of my ex-girlfriend before my wife. I swear to God.
She looks like, just see Nina Hartley today and you can see what your ex-girlfriend
If you don't guys know who Nina Hartley is, she is the woman who plays in Boogie Nights. She's the one who's married to a Kevin, the guy who, the camera guy on that. He's also in Shameless, the TV show Shameless. He's married to the woman who's under investigation for
it's
Kevin.
Been so long.
I can't remember his name now. Any rate. He in the scene, everybody's banging her on the garage or on the driveway or at a party, and the guy's trying to have a conversation. I'm thinking the lighting in the movie. He's like, "Hey man, do you mind? My wife's getting ass banged by five guys over here right now. I don't have a conversation." Fucking great. He was also in the movie The Cooler. If you've never seen it, you should see that. and I wish I could tell you the actor's name. And a Michigan man is suing his parents after they destroyed his extremely valuable porn collection. Well, you don't know the value until somebody wants to pay you for it. In a lawsuit filed last week, the plaintiff is known as Charlie.
Charlie beats a lot. Last name, that's what his last name.
Charlie got napkins. Recently moved to Indiana after living with his parents in Michigan for 10 months. He had just gotten over a divorce and was able to do work around his parents' home. We got to call it work. In exchange for rent, a domestic situation forced him out back in August of 2017. A few months later, his parents drove to his home in Indiana to give him some belongings he left in their home. Only one thing was missing: his gargantuan porn collection that consisted of more than 12 moving boxes full of adult films.
Oh,
12 moving boxes.
This guy's going to be in his 50s domestic.
That's a lot of porn, man.
So he was beating his wife and beating his dick. So.
Oh, my God. He's like, I may want to come back to this one day. And he's just stalking porn scenes over and over.
That's probably what happened. His wife tried to throw out his collection, then he beat her ass, and then she threw him out.
Where's my porn? You ain't getting it back. Oh, yeah.
I think I got like, I want to say I got like maybe 15 DVDs.
Yeah. I think I got like two VCRs right now, and maybe like two or three DVD
probably
players.
Got like $5 for all of them.
Yeah. Charlie, by the way, local comic, Charlie Estrello. Of course, his name was Charlie.
Estrello.
Yeah, do you feel a common bond there, buddy?
I love Charlie.
The collective, it says here that Charlie says his parents told him they destroyed his entire collection. Upset, he called the Ottawa County Sheriff's Department, filed a police report. And he valued his collection around $28,000.
Oh, this guy was fucking...
Now, this is like one of these things, like you go to like, what's it called, Storage Wars?
Yeah.
Like, you know, like the guy sees like a box of DVDs. Usually, I've never seen any of those guys go, oh, there's a box there, $5 a piece. I mean, you think if somebody paid $5 for a porn.
Yeah.
You think?
Some of them are expensive.
Yeah, you could
bro.
Still... This is, bunch of fucking pervs out here to be like, oh, I remember this one from the 90s, you know?
Yeah.
Give me $25 for it.
So you're saying in porn, it kind of brings you back like music. Like if you hear music from when you're in high school, it reminds you of that girl you dated.
I remember
so you're
this
saying
one.
If this porn you jerked off to, oh, I remember back then, I just lost my job and I watched this 100,000 times.
This one
it got me through my darkest hours.
I got kicked out of the boy so band rough. To this one. Remember this one. Elgin gave me this one.
Oh, this is the one. This is the one I was watching when I saw my face on the Burger King commercial. Yeah.
Man, you guys don't know when DVDs were like the thing, like a brand new, like top stars in a porn movie, they would go like for $60.
Yeah? I never paid $60 for porn.
I never did either, but I'd go into some of these, you know, adult video stores. I'm like, that is an expensive DVD. But that was like when DVD, and then once the internet porn came out, that all crashed.
Yeah, so. I mean, if for that much porn, that thing better reach out and touch me.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It better come with a chick that delivers it. we counted 12 moving boxes full of pornography, plus two boxes of sex toys, as you call them. We began that day the process of destroying them, and it took quite a while to do so. They had to watch it first.
Yeah.
A month after he filed the police report, Charlie scolded his father in an email, quote, if you had a problem with my belongings, you should have stated that at the time, and I would have gone elsewhere. Instead, you chose to keep quiet, behave vindictively. Well, this is a bad relationship between him and his pops.
Yeah, vindictively.
Yeah. I never said that to my dad. According to the lawsuit, his father said he destroyed them. For Charlie's own good.
Charlie, stop beating your dick.
He keeps walking into the walls.
God damn it, Charlie. You're 60 years old living here beating off in our den. Stop beating off in the den. The cat's sleeping.
That kid owes us 10 grand in tissues.
Yeah.
Use fucking Kleenex boxes.
Jesus Christ, get a job.
Your mother says the shower's sticky.
Believe it or not, the father said, one reason for why I destroyed your porn was your own mental and emotional health. His father said, I would have done the same thing if I found a kilo of crack cocaine. So the dad's basically considering porn just like drugs. You can't get into porn, kids. And you expect the girls to do that. It's always interesting, though, when you were young and a girl you dated actually watched. The first time you dated a girl you knew who watched porn, she started saying things and stuff. You're like, hey, you watch porn. You could tell, right? Because they'd say, you know, they'd say things.
A lot of girls do. Even the ones that say they don't are the fucking, they watch the most fucking
wild. The ones
shit.
That use their hands violently during oral. It's you know, they've seen some porn.
Yeah.
It is so true, man. It's crazy. But, I remember the first time I watched porn with a girl. That was pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Because, like, you think it's all going to be like, yeah, we're going to get into it. And then, like, everyone's getting, like, self-conscious. Like, do we keep this on? Do we turn this off? Like,
yeah, it's
like
bizarre.
Noises conflicting with, you know, it's not as, like, sexy as I thought it was going to be.
Well, I mentioned this the other day. In Fort Lauderdale, the hotel is still there, but it's not the same. It's like an Econo Lodge or something. But it was called the Bonsoir Hotel. It's in Fort Lauderdale on Federal Highway, just south of Oakland Park Boulevard.
Swinger Club?
No, it was basically a sex hotel. They had a room. The room still has one of the rooms still has a hot tub in it. I know that. I haven't been there, but the ceilings had mirrored, and the whole side of the room was mirrored, and the TV in the played 24 hours porn.
Wow!
Just constant loop. You didn't have to change it; just kept going.
Yeah, just go in there. Bang out and then.
Oh my God, dude! I still have the world record.
Our rentals of my 3 minutes.
No. I
got
spent
your money back.
With the Nina Hartley chick, we went there, and I think 14 times.
Wow.
Jeez. Yeah, in a matter of 12 hours, whatever the hell it was, we were in there.
Man.
Yeah.
You got your money's worth.
Fuck.
Jeez. They're like, put a plaque on this wall. Put a plaque on the wall for this guy.
And you didn't even need one of those gas station pills, did you?
No,
you
man.
Like
back
12
then,
hours.
Dude, that was like, I was what? What
14 times.
Yeah. Fuck, I was like 19, 20, pills. 21 or something. You know what I mean? Oh, my God. The Bonsoir Hotel.
Poor girl.
24-hour porn and mirrored ceilings. God bless her. She passed away in October.
She passed away? The girl that you were?
Yeah, I found out. Her mom sent me an email. I was awkward. I'm like, well, I'm sitting next to my wife now. Texas woman allegedly attacks husband after getting silence when she asked if she's pretty. No news is good news, man. Can you imagine? Do you think I'm pretty? And then, you know, once you pause for 2 or 3 seconds, it's fucking, that should be enough.
A pause is no good, and then, it's no good either.
Why are you asking me these questions?
Yeah.
A woman in Texas allegedly assaulted her common-law husband after he didn't respond when asked if she was pretty. Lizeth Guadalupe Ramirez, and if she asked me, I'd say no. 20 was arrested late Tuesday after the alleged incident. The Times had reported, cited police that she allegedly told investigators the man assaulted her.
Mm.
Me too, bitch. Assaulted her and tried to strangle her. However, the common law husband reportedly told a different story, telling police that the couple was at a movie theater when she asked him, "Do I look pretty?" Ramirez's husband said he didn't respond as he didn't hear her. ¿Qué dice, niña? What did you say? Which upset Ramirez and prompted them to leave the theater. That's a bad situation when you're on a date and, you know, something that shouldn't be that bad ends up being really bad. And there's like toxicity just like, and you're like, oh, my God, this is the night's over. You know what I mean? Like everything was going great. Now, that one fucking moment.
Why do you got to ask that? I mean, especially if, like, the appetizers aren't even fucking out yet. And you, am I pretty or fucking the theater?
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck?
I mean, what kind of question is that?
We're at the fucking theater.
Right. I'm here with you. Like, you're pretty enough, so.
Psychopath.
During the ride home, Ramirez's husband claimed she allegedly hit him repeatedly at their home. She allegedly continued to hit him and even assaulted a family member who tried to intervene. Well, there you got at least a witness. Ramirez was charged with 2 counts of assault, a family violence, and not looking good that day. Chaos at a Walmart. This is a crazy story. This is something you see at Walmart, Mike. Chaos at Walmart as a woman performs karate. The son exposes himself, and the family dog runs away with food.
This is
a fucking team of criminals.
Yes.
Wow.
This is, I read this, I pulled this headline up. This has got to be a joke.
Seriously.
The lady breaks out in karate. The son takes his clothes off, starts banging the fucking waffles, and the dog runs away.
With the fucking goods.
With a lasagna mix.
I mean, do you call like a mental home to get
and they were all together, right?
Yeah, it's a family.
Yeah, you got to fucking just look. The dog goes to the pound. The kid fucking goes to the dick flasher, goes right to some perv camp, and the mother just
a perv camp
karate kid six.
I want to hear more about these perv camps.
This is what America's spitting out, like yeah, these crazy. You know, she probably saw something on TV. She thought she could be an MMA fighter, so now she's a karate expert.
What state? Arkansas got to be where it started.
Yeah, let's guess the state. Yeah. That's
been
a great
there,
game.
And I'm like, fuck. There
you
is
say Arkansas.
What do you say?
I'm gonna go with. I want to go with Kansas.
Not too far off. Wisconsin.
Oh, I was so close.
Chaos descended on a Wisconsin Walmart on Wednesday night after karate performing mother, her naked son, and their belligerent dog shoplifted and ran amok in the store.
Did the dog take cheddar?
It was definitely a middle America state. Like,
yeah.
It was like, we were just looking down that middle line, like, what states are falling in there?
How do you train for that? You're like, all right, when I do the roundhouses, you show your dick, and then the dog takes the goods.
Yeah,
right?
What if they had a practice run?
Mama's kicking again.
The police department said officers responded to a call that a woman, Lisa Smith, 46, and her dog, Bo, shoplifted items from the store. The woman's son, 26-year-old Benny Van, was causing chaos in the store as well. Police learned that Smith came into the shop with Bo, unleashed with the dog immediately, let the dog off, running off towards customers while the woman was pulling apart displays in the store and placing them in her cart.
Mm.
After being told to leave the store, the woman began showing off her karate in the parking lot to fend off police officers. By the way, she's all banged up.
She got tasered.
She fucking beat
fucking
her
knee in the back. Listen, you twat rocket. Fucking put the Cheetos down.
Ma'am, those are fucking those are beef jerkies. That ain't they fucking nunchucks.
Get them, Bo.
It's not worth 50,000 volts, you bitch.
Mama, kick them.
They fucked her up. The dog tried to flee the crime scene, albeit unsuccessful, with a box of Jiffy cornbread muffin mix. After a brief fight with the officers, Smith was arrested as a last-ditch attempt to try to kick a window out of the police car. Her son, meanwhile, was getting fully naked and began exposing himself to other customers. Who hasn't?
Look at my penis, everyone.
He then tried to cover himself with clothes. He tried to take clothes off the rack and put it all over him. After officers confronted him, he threatened to run over them with his scooter, prompting the police to use physical force to stop the scooter and arrest the man.
Man.
Like to see an IQ test on these two fucking people.
They both went to jail, but the dog was let go scot-free.
I bet they smoke pot together.
Think?
Like that's that fat. That's
smoking
that mom.
Smoking meth, dude. You're not doing fucking roundhouses in Walmart.
You're right. You got a point there.
Cheetos.
Yeah.
They passed the weed. Now they're doing crystal meth.
I mean, you'll take Cheetos, but you're not doing roundhouses.
Yeah. Here's a story. Mississippi community left confused after bowls of mashed potatoes mysteriously keep appearing.
Mm.
Town next door keeps getting gravy. Jackson residents were mystified after bowls of mashed potatoes suddenly appeared on their cars, porches, and mailboxes. Jordan Lewis described the Belhaven neighborhood as a quirky one, with residents decorating road signs and putting Christmas trees in potholes. But the probe into puzzling potato problem is even new for them. Well, that's a weird fucking community. You know what I mean? What the fuck? You know what I mean? It's one thing if you go to a community where everybody pulls their lights up and shit, you know.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
They exist out there, though.
Yeah, of course. Pleasantville, right?
Mashed potato bandit.
Somebody just got a new fucking mashed potato mixer. Just can't stop fucking grinding them up. Like, they're high as fuck. And you ever use a potato, like the scrambler thing where you, then you get to lick them after. And man, you get into that thing, winding that thing up, you high, you could spend hours doing that.
Might be some kind of psycho. Next month's going to be stuffing and then all the other November.
He's slowly serving an 8-course meal.
Thanksgiving is coming.
Michaela Lynn said she found a bowl of mashed potatoes in her mailbox. She said some of the potato finders have connections to Belhaven University, a local private Christian university. So far, I have realized some of the victims of the mashed potatoes are actually staff or Belhaven students or alumni. Hmm. Well, it's not a bad problem.
Yeah, things could be a lot worse. I mean, with shit in your mailbox and you got mashed potatoes. You're like, that's right. It's weird, but it's not that bad.
Yeah, they start handing out, like, making fucking fruitcake. Yeah.
It depends on how, like, long that mashed potato's in there. You could probably still eat it.
Mm-hmm.
I'd eat it. Really good. And have anything
you think?
On it. Yeah,
that'd be a good dare right there.
Like, it was good mashed potatoes that just someone gave you. They just made like 10 minutes ago.
I would never eat anything. You ever have like a person after the comedy show or somebody bring you food? Like, hey, you want to try? Like, I'd have that like when I worked in the bank.
A stranger. I'm saying if you lived in this town, you know everyone in this town.
Well, dude, when I worked at the bank, these old ladies would bring like food every once in a while. I wanted you to try this. I'm like,
you didn't
thanks.
Eat no old lady food?
Fuck no, man.
That probably was bomb food, bro.
Yeah, I mean, they haven't fucking been wearing the same clothes
you think
for
some old
two
lady
decades.
Trying to kill you?
Not trying to kill me purposely, but fuck, you know, they're sitting there scratching their ass while they're cooking.
Ugh. It just tastes like mothballs.
I know.
She probably took so much love into that lasagna for you.
Woman on most wanted list who taunted police on Facebook arrested after accidentally revealing her location. Police arrested a woman after she revealed her location on Facebook while seemingly taunting authorities online. Chloe Jones was arrested in Virginia and extradited to Pennsylvania after she posted a comment for a post featuring a, quote, most wanted list with her name on it. The list posted by the Greene County Sheriff's Office said she had failed to make court appearances last month over assault charges. Quote, do you do pickup or delivery? She wrote on the department's Facebook post, adding several laughing emojis. Mrs. Jones began responding to comments from other users at one point, revealing that she was allegedly at Ruby Memorial Hospital. Maybe I shouldn't have pressed that tag button.
Yeah, Chloe Jones checks into the Waffle House.
Oh, shit. Goddamn Zuckerberg. The discovery led officers to reportedly arresting her before transporting the woman back to Greene County. So that's great. That's the way it should be, right?
Stupid.
Love it. This was an amazing story. I'm a dog lover. You guys like dogs?
Yeah, of course. Man.
Dog is rescued after it's found swimming 135 miles out at sea.
Wow, that's insane.
Think about this. Workers plucked the dog off a fucking oil rig, like a drilling rig.
Well, they saw that out there just in the middle of the ocean.
The Gulf of Thailand.
That's insane.
And have no idea where the fucking dog came from. There was paddling in the fucking middle of the ocean.
That's crazy.
Right, 135 miles from any shore. You know somebody had to get rid of the dog, and they thought, you know what? They're going to take him on the boat and then put the fucking dog. I know people that did that. I mean, I found a friend's family did that. They took the dog, and the father took it to some other neighbor and just let him go after having the dog for 4 or 5 years.
That's a cruel person to take on a boat and then drive out for miles just to throw the dog overboard. Hopefully it drowns and they never see it again.
Right.
Is that what you're telling me, that this is what happened with this
dog? I don't know. No one else has an explanation, but I'm assuming that's probably at least one possible. The incredible moment of a dog was rescued after being found swimming in the Gulf of Thailand, 135 miles from shore. Workers on the oil rig said, hey, is that your dog? I can't get away from that fucking dog. It's a beautiful dog, too. What a cutie.
Man,
they got the exhausted animal on the thing. They put it in a cage, and then... Congressman Schumer came over and said, this is atrocious. It says here, workers, they got a rope down and fucking...
Jesus.
Con Vistic saved the animal, said he does not know how she came to be in the ocean. But he would... See, that's when you know it was another language. And that's translating. I have no idea how it came to get into the ocean.
How it came to be.
How it came to be.
What if it's an angelic dog? What if, like... It just appeared out of nowhere. You know, we've heard about these legends.
So you're saying the second coming of Christ is he's coming back as a Labrador Retriever?
I mean, according to Buddhism, you know, I mean, we all come back in different forms.
Not a bad.
Reincarnated.
That would be kind of hilarious, I got to tell you. Jesus comes back as a dog. Can't warn us about the apocalypse, you know?
Yeah, he's barking.
Okay.
Is the end of the world coming? What happens? How do we follow you? Speaking of following, three naked women at rest stop lead deputies on a chase here in Florida. These ladies were at a guest one of these rest stops on the highway. They were naked, putting suntan oil on themselves.
Wait, come again? So we're at a rest stop.
Authorities
on the highway.
Say three women who were applying suntan lotion publicly in the nude at a Florida rest stop
Is
led police
the day
on
night?
A 21-mile chase. drove a car at a deputy and threatened another deputy with a bat.
Whoa.
Florida Highway Patrol says the deputy approached the women at the Interstate 75 stop on Wednesday in Dade City. They started dressing. They said they had been staying at a relative's home, but went to the rest stop after an altercation happened at the house. It seems the father was mad that the son had so much porn. Tampa Bay Times reports the women claimed they were air drying after washing up.
Air drying.
So they took all their clothes, put them in the sink, and then hang it. Let's just go. Can you imagine you pull over and you're on a gig? You see these three girls naked on a fucking picnic table. Do you go over? Do you go over, Mike? You're a single guy. Why not? You would, right?
No, because if I see three naked women together, mm-hmm. I'm like, they're a gang. They're going to beat the shit out of me.
Rob. Yeah, something's going on. It's not.
Yeah. How about you?
How'd they look?
I think they were. I don't remember the. I saw the picture. They're cute. I mean, they're not. You know,
they're not classy women. They probably worked at what's that strip club in Gainesville? It's a
strip club in Gainesville.
There's a. It says all that. It's on. That's like all you have 20 to say, billboards.
Dude. Yeah. Strip club in Gainesville. That's all you have to say.
No, it's a popular one. It's a truck stop station. That's probably what.
Oh,
the booby trap.
Exotica.
You see all the signs for it.
Yeah,
right?
Lixell Exotica Club Exotica or something.
I
like
drove
that.
By it because it's right off the exit when we go to the high dive, and I'm like, dude, let's. We just got. I got to see.
Yeah, got
to
look at it.
By this place for years. Nobody wanted to go in, but those girls
in?
Probably working.
Did you
no,
go in?
They didn't
want to
go
oh,
in.
Man. That's
dude, you fucking
that'd
been awesome.
Dude, I know. Us. I'm going next time.
You do
I
every promise. Time you drive by that area. I think it's called Exotic Club Exotic or something like that.
Omelets and titties.
I wanted to hear, like, you walked in and it was actually, like, a really, like, classy joint. Like,
yeah, there's no way. The gas station next door served spicy bull penis and people were ordering it. Country.
Says here, three ultimately were caught. They had been charged with aggravated assault on a law enforcement officer, resisting arrest, fleeing to elude, and indecent exposure. Our final story of the day is a funny story, at least I think so. A pair made laxative cookies for striking workers. You're asking me why I don't like to eat other people's fucking food?
Yeah, that's obviously like, if I'm a worker who's on strike and some strange lady comes by, like, are you hungry with some cookies? And we're like, get out of here, lady. But, like, I helped this old lady with her, what you do, like, financial stuff.
Mm-hmm.
She wants to show me some love. She's like, thank you. You saved my retirement. Here's some lasagna. I mean, she ain't trying to make you poop your pants.
You don't know that.
I don't know that, man.
She might be. She might
like,
add,
oh, because he, like, maybe he lost the money.
She might just got divorced and be like, you know what? I'm done with men.
Yeah, Dougie, no hard feelings.
Here's some lasagna, Dougie.
Yeah, she's a fucking black widow.
I don't know, man.
You know, she killed like her last five husbands and all died mysteriously.
People are crazy.
I'm trying to give people the benefit of the doubt.
In Ericksville, Ohio, police say a couple made laxative-laced cookies for striking school employees because they were tired of the noise from picket line near their home. You know, they're outside their house. They live by the school. They're out there picketing. They said, you know what? You guys want some cookies?
It's a shitty situation.
Authorities in eastern Ohio say none of the striking workers ate the sugar cookies, but the couple was charged with contaminating the treats. Police say the pair complained on Facebook about drivers honking in support of the striking bus drivers, cooks, and custodians. Investigators say they also made a video showing the laxative pills being mixed into the cookie batter. Now, listen, let me give you guys, if you want to be a bad guy, if you're a bad person, you want to do something fucked up, here's the first advice I'm going to give you. Don't record anything you do. All right? Don't brag about it on Facebook. Don't tell your friends about it. If you want something to be done, you keep it to yourself. And if you have time permitted, you wait at least 24 months. And then you do the deed. And nobody's the wiser.
He's done some shit.
I've never.
He got it down to the months, 24.
He's teaching classes and shit here.
36 in most cases.
Yeah. 36 in most, if you really want to be.
If you can't wait. The strike in the school district, it's in its third week. So authorities say Bo Consens and Rachel Sharrock appeared in court on Tuesday to face several charges. I wonder why nobody ate them. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's like, you know, I think maybe they're smart like me. Like, hey, thanks, you know.
And now I'm just
one dude there that was probably like, don't eat those cookies.
Waiting for like 36 months from now, like Dougie's going to get back at me. Like
One Dougie.
Why would you do wrong, man? You do something wrong?
Not yet.
But. Yeah, all right. Well, I would rethink it. You know what I mean? You got no reason to do anything wrong to me, Mikey.
I'm going to be 40 years old. And
Mike's going to be saying, there, go,
get my comeuppance.
Mike's about to get a Netflix special. And all of a sudden.
Karate kick.
Hey, I haven't seen you in a while. No. Anyway, that's all we have time for here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. I want to thank Mike Cintron for being here today.
Thank you so much.
And, of course, stepping in today, Mr. Nadeem Awad.
Thank you for having me, man. I appreciate
Absolutely,
it.
Bro.
Always a good time.
Glad you called in and came in. By the way, big week this week. Wednesday, this Thursday through Saturday, I'm going to be headlining Zany's in St. Charles, Illinois. First time headlining a Zany's room, so I'm really stoked about
Sweet,
it.
Sweet, man.
They got a limo picking me up.
That's cool.
Damn.
They said, what time you get in? I get at midnight. I get in on midnight on Wednesday. There will be, just call this number, and this limo service will come get you.
Nice.
And then I'm flying out early Sunday when I come home. 5 a.m., the limo is going to be outside the condo ready to take me to the airport.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's headliner, baby.
Classy joint.
Yeah, and then I'll also be at the Zany's in downtown Chicago from the 22nd to the 28th, opening for Uncle Larry and a few other comics are going to be there. I'll be opening on those dates. Go to DougAlmeida.com for more dates. How about you, Mike? What's going on?
Tuesday, Dada in Delray Beach. Wednesday, Robot Brewing Company in Boca. And then this Saturday, April 20th, I'm at Old Soul Brewery in Fort Myers.
Fun room.
All right.
What you got coming?
I got Boss Tacos open mic tomorrow night. Starts at 8 o'clock in Boynton Beach. The 19th, I'm featuring at Improv U in Delray. And the 20th, I'm headlining Gypsy Moon in Pembroke Pines.
Nice.
That is
a cool
Baez's
room.
Room, yeah.
Really
yeah?
Room, yeah?
Cool. By the way, guys, don't forget, mark your calendars for May 8th. The next Wise Guys comedy show.
Oh, yeah.
Starring Ahmed Ahmed from the Access of Evil comedy tour, Vince Vaughn's comedy tour. Actually, he's a very funny guy. You're going to be doing a spot on that show.
Excited.
No Muslim jokes.
I can't do any Muslim or
can't do any fucking. Yeah.
No, you're funny without
Yeah,
those,
you don't need them. And so that's the call. Tavolino's 954-509-0046. The tickets are already starting to be sold Wednesday, May 8th. Get that date. And if you're in Northern California, I'll be at the NoHo Comedy Festival from May 1st through the 5th. I'm going to be at Flappers on May 1st in Burbank. So go to my website and check that out. Guys, thanks for checking out the show. Appreciate you guys being here. And guess what? No other shows this week. I may report from the road, but if not, we'll be back next Monday right here at the same spot. Take care.
Love you.
Peace.
People on Earth, can you hear me? Came a voice from the sky on a magical night. And in the colors of a thousand sunsets, they traveled through the world on a silvery light. The people of the Earth stood waiting, watching as the ships came one by one. Setting fire to the sky as they landed, carrying to the world children of the sun. Children of the sun.